I'm sure that President Joseph Fielding Smith knows it, needs no introduction to this group. I'm sure you've all heard him speak. You've all read his works. You know of his scholarship. A man who has given complete dedication to the cause of Jesus Christ, who has lifted his voice as a special witness throughout the entire church. We're honored to have him here and receive his instructions. President Smith.
This is a wonderful group. I'll admit that it almost frightens me. You are here in this institution to be educated, and I hope with the proper kind of an education. We have a great many colleges and universities in this country, but the Spirit of God is not there. There is only one good reason for the Brigham Young University, and that is that it might be a college or university where people can be, where the young people can come and be trained not only in the knowledge which the world can give, but in the light of the everlasting gospel as it has been revealed in the dispensation in which we live. Sunday, I was up in Idaho, Sister Smith was with me, attending a state conference. I told those good members of the church up there that I was very grateful for the great privileges and blessings which are mine and which are open to anybody else who wishes to receive them. Because of the restoration of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I thank the Lord, and I do, that I wasn't born 500 years ago, or 1,000 years ago, or in any other period of the world's history when the fullness of the gospel is not among men. I told them that I did not know why I was reserved or given the privilege of coming into the world in this dispensation instead of being born at some other period of time when the light of truth, that is, the gospel of Jesus Christ, was not on the earth. I've thought of this a great many times. And in kneeling in prayer before the Lord, I have thanked Him for the great privilege of coming when the gospel is here in its fullness. And I do. Now there were good people on the face of the earth. Five hundred years ago, 1,000 years ago. In fact, there have been good people on the earth all down through the ages. But I think we ought to be very grateful that we had the privilege of coming into this world in the dispensation of the fullness of times, when again the heavens have been opened. There has been communication between our Heavenly Father and His Son, Jesus Christ, and mankind. And when the authority of the Holy Priesthood is here, and evidently was not here for hundreds of years, people being born into this world, going out of it, believing what they were taught, and largely in the traditions of men, in a day of spiritual darkness. Now, I know the Lord is gracious and merciful, and that He is caring for those people who never had the opportunity of baptism for the remission of their sins, or having a prophet or a teacher among them who could say in authority, "Thus saith the Lord," or who could lay on hands for the gift of the Holy Ghost, or baptized for the remission of sins. Now, it's man's fault, of course, that these things were not here. When our Savior was on the earth, He authorized His disciples, the 12 apostles and others, and sent them forth to all parts of the world to preach the gospel with the authority to build up His kingdom, to baptize men for the remission of their sins, to lay on hands for the gift of the Holy Ghost. But as time went on, all that authority was lost. And as Paul has stated it, they followed false teachers and accepted doctrines that tickled the ears. And our great-grandfathers, ancestors during those years, had to go through life in spiritual darkness. Now, they didn't know they were in spiritual darkness. They were not aware of the fact that they did not have the blessings that would bring to them exaltation in the kingdom of God. That their teachers, all through those ages, were men who had taken authority unto themselves and were without the divine calling and authority to lay on hands, to baptize for the remission of sins. Now, it wasn't the fault of the Lord that that condition prevailed. It was the fault of man himself. And the darkness came over the earth because people departed from the truth. Their teachers were men without divine authority, many of them good. I don't question the integrity of men who were the religious leaders in those days. I think many of them were very devout, but they were without the divine authority. And so, people grew up from childhood with false ideas and notions regarding God in relation to the redemption that was offered, given to us by the Son of God. There were people in those days that were just as devout and just as sincere, I take it, as we are. But they never had these privileges because divine authority had been removed from the earth. Brethren, sisters, how grateful we ought to be now. I don't know what I did, don't know what you did before we were born that merited the coming forth and the dispensation in which we now live. But I think we ought to thank the Lord and show our appreciation by keeping His commandments. Today, we don't have to walk in darkness. They walked in darkness because they did not have the gift of the Holy Ghost. They had no authority, only that which they assumed and which was man-made. Now, I mention these things because I am so greatly pleased and thankful that I was reserved to come when everything was in order and the gospel is here, the power of the priesthood, the kingdom of God established. Now, I think we ought to feel that way. I take it that those people, many of them, the according to the knowledge they had, were just as devout and just as sincere and faithful as we are. Many of them. And I'm also grateful for the fact that the Lord did not forget them. Now, pardon me, pushing this thing off. And I'm grateful that He has given us the privileges of doing work for these people. Which they were deprived of doing for themselves. Being baptized in their behalf for the remission of their sins. Having hands laid upon our heads for the gift of the Holy Ghost in their behalf. And having other ordinances given to them by that same kind of proxy, so that they can be numbered among those who have made covenants with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, the Lord gave unto man his agency. You know, we read and have the understanding that the rebellion in heaven, when one third of the spirits rebel, the great problem that confronted them was the matter of free agency. Now, we don't have much written on that, but we do have enough given unto us that we know why there was a rebellion. Lucifer, son of the morning, one time in authority, who had ideas of his own, who became ambitious and offered himself to our eternal Father that he would come and be a sacrifice for the sins of the world and redeem them. But that had to be on his conditions. First of all, that if he did that great work, that our Father would abdicate and turn the authority over to him. So he wasn't honest. And naturally, his plan had to be rejected. And like a lot of people on the earth today, who have ideas and whatnot, they create trouble unless they can have their own way. And so he rebelled. He had a great following. Evidently a person of personage of great power of persuasion. And he led a great many of them away. They followed him. But what a dreadful thing it would have been if he had prevailed. It would have meant the destruction of free agency. What greater gift can there be than the gift of agency? No compulsion. No man is ever forced to be saved. That would be contrary to every principle of righteousness. What would it have done? It would have destroyed that great gift of free agency, the right of every man to make his own choice, every soul, women too, of course, to make their own choice. And so we came here on this earth under those conditions. We chose to accept the plan that was placed in the hands of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We accepted Him. Now, we read that Satan said, "I'll go and do this, but you abdicate. I'll take your place." The Savior said, "I will go." I guess you'll have to hold that or I'll push it off. "I will go and do thy will, and the glory be thine forever." And he was sent. I think often of that great sacrifice that was done, given us by the only begotten Son of God. Now, every week we're supposed to go to meeting and partake of the sacrament. Why was the sacrament introduced? As a token of remembrance and a covenant which was given to us, which we have made, that we will keep the commandments of our eternal Father, that we will honor His Son for what He did. Now, it's a simple thing for us to go to a meeting and have a priest bless some bread and some water, and we take a little piece of bread. We eat it in remembrance of the body of Jesus Christ that was crucified. We drink a little cup now of water, and the Lord said we could, in remembrance of His blood that was shed. And every time we eat that bread and drink that water, we renew a covenant that we will remember him and keep his commandments. Now, that's a simple thing, isn't it? A priest blesses some bread, blesses some water. We take a little piece of bread, we take a little sup of water in remembrance of the atonement of Jesus Christ, sacrifice that he made for us. And I wonder how many of us comprehend, or try to comprehend, just what that sacrifice meant. I don't think we can grasp it in its fullness. We do it as a matter of, well, just a matter of form. I saw some young priests one day after administering the sacrament, and at the close of the meeting, and some bread was left on the plates, began to throw the pieces at each other. Well, they got stopped from doing that. But it conveyed to my mind this, that they did not understand, nor could they comprehend, or had they comprehended, the real purpose of partaking of those emblems and what it cost the Son of God to do something for us so we wouldn't have to do it for ourselves. I want to read to you a verse or two from section 19 of the Doctrine and Covenants. One of our brethren did something that was wrong. And the Lord rebuked him. And I want to read this verse. Therefore, I command you to repent. Repent, lest I smite you by the rod of my mouth and by my wrath and by my anger, and your suffering be sore. How sore ye know not. How hard to bear, you know not. For behold, I, God, have suffered these things for all, that they might not suffer if they would repent. Now I'm going to skip one of the verses, come back to it a little later. Which suffering caused myself, even God the greatest of all, to tremble because of pain and to bleed at every pore and to sever both body and spirit, and would that I might not drink the bitter cup and shrink. Nevertheless, glory be to the Father, and I partook and finished my preparations unto the children of men. Is there anybody in this room that never did anything wrong? If he, the one's here, he can raise his hand. Well, if you got afterwards, after you did something wrong, if you got the spirit of repentance, you felt just terrible, didn't you? You felt sorry. And if it's possible for you to go back and undo what was done, you'd gladly do it. Well, that's just one man repenting. One day, a big, husky man came into my office. I saw he was greatly agitated. I asked him to sit down on the opposite side of the table from me. And he sat down. When he sat down, I says, "What can I do for you?" And he made an expression that went through me like a knife. I couldn't repeat it the way he did. "Is there any hope for me?" And he just shook. And he held his head down and wept. I said, "Well, now, there's hope for any man that will repent." I didn't ask him what his real trouble was, but I said, "There's hope for any man that will repent." Now, that man was in awful torment. Never seen one before or since quite like it. Why? Because he had done something. He had sinned. Well, we've all sinned. If anybody here never sinned, he can raise his hand. Well, then I guess I'm right. I can say that we've all sinned. We've done things we ought not. Some of them maybe weren't very bad. And then it caused me to think of the Son of God. Here's one man just shaking there. Big, strapping fellow. But some sin and the spirit of repentance upon him, and he just broke down. And I think we go to the sacrament meeting. When I say we, I mean the members of the church. And very, very few of us really get the correct picture in our minds. How could a man partake of the sacrament and then go straight out down to the ballpark afterwards to a ball game on the Sunday afternoon or evening? Now, I think the great majority of the members of the church don't really visualize, as I think we could do, the greatness of the atonement of the Savior, Jesus Christ. Let me read his words here. "Which suffering caused myself, even God the greatest of all, to tremble because of pain, and to bleed at every pore, and to suffer both body and spirit, and would that I might not drink the bitter cup and shrink. Nevertheless, glory be unto the Father, and I partook and finished my preparations unto the children of men." Now, some way which I can't explain, and which I don't think you can explain, but which I can visualize to some extent, and so can you. And that is the great torment that was on the Son of God when he was carrying my sins and yours and everyone else that will repent and receive the gospel. So we won't have to answer if we'll keep his commandments. Now that was a terrific burden. And yet, vicariously, he was paying the price of the things I've done that were wrong, that you have done that were wrong, that every member of the church from the days of Adam down to the end of time did or has or will do. He paid the price, so we can escape and won't have to suffer for it if we will only keep his commandments. That's all he asks, that we be true to him. Now that was a dreadful, dreadful thing. In some way that I can't explain to you, and I don't know anybody that can, but still I know it's true. He was carrying that burden of my transgressions, yours, and every soul that comes into the church. Now I say that came into the church. Not for others. I'll explain that a little later. And he paid the price so we don't have to pay it if we'll just keep his commandments. And he says that was so terrible that he bled at every pore. Cried to his father. And his father couldn't hear him. Or at least didn't hear him. The father had to leave him to suffer that alone. And I can imagine our eternal Father being off all by himself weeping and yet permitting the Son to go all through this because he had to. For me. For you. And everyone that will receive his gospel and keep the commandments. He took upon him that great burden. Now, I can't visualize to save my life the full extent. I know it was dreadful, the full extent of his suffering. I know how I've suffered when I've done something wrong. And I guess you, if you've repented, you've suffered for some things you've done that were wrong. But he was carrying that burden. Not as some people think. It wasn't for those who do not believe in him and do have not repented of their sins. But for all who, from the time of Adam to the end of time, who have or will repent of their sins and put their faith in him. And keep his commandments. He paid the price for us. Dreadful thing, that suffering, which he says himself caused the blood to burst from his body, out of the pores of his body. And he cried to his father for relief, and his father couldn't hear him. I imagine that his father was off by himself suffering. His heart going out And yet he couldn't do a thing. He had to leave his son to suffer and endure to the end. All alone. I didn't intend to say this when I came down here. Well, I guess it won't hurt us. Pay a little more attention to these things. I go to a sacrament meeting. I look over a congregation and I think, you good people here, you don't sense as you ought to just what it means to eat that little piece of bread and drink that little sup of water. Many of them wouldn't be guilty of doing things they do afterwards if they did. Well, brethren, sisters, students, teachers, let us be grateful for the gospel of Jesus Christ. And let's see if we can't visualize a little better, perhaps, than we have, what it cost the Son of God to perform this service in our behalf. Now I say the Lord did not die upon the cross to relieve those who don't believe in him from their suffering. I skipped one verse, now I'm going to read it to you. And to make the connection, I'll read the one which I've already read, which precedes it. For behold, I, God, have suffered these things for all, that they might not suffer if they would repent. But if they would not repent, they must suffer even as I. Lord bless you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.